Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek Actually After Show for October 16th, 2010. This is episode 104, and as you can see by that introduction, it's a mess. My name is David McVeigh, and as usual, I have to throw a quick disclaimer out there because people log into this show sometimes and go, what the hell's going on? All right, this is the after show that we do once we have finished everything else for the day. We kind of get together and turn the mics back on and just have a chit-chat about various random
geek out.
Random thoughts about anything that's going on. So if you haven't listened to a Geek Actually show before, and this is your first experience, I would actually suggest you pause this. Go and listen to Film Actually or Tech Actually, or both.
Where we actually focus a lot harder.
That's right, where we actually have show notes and we're focused.
And we usually have a lot more energy as well.
Yeah, we have energy. It's earlier in the day, we have a plan, the whole bit. And then we come back and listen to this. I am joined, or continue to be joined as usual by, that's not who I'm joined by. Ah, there we go. I'm joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm fine now. I can see what's going on.
You need to talk into your microphone, not at the screen.
It's close enough. Yeah,
there you go. And Shane Gregory, how are you?
Good, thank you.
That's excellent. All right, so let's get on with this.
Dave has a lot of energy.
No, all right. We've got a couple things. First of all, and we say there's no rules and there's no structure to this show, but we do have two things that we have to talk about really quickly. Great. Because we missed them in the main shows. Mm-hmm. The first one was Delta Knight, one of our regular chat roomers, sent through this picture. And this will be in the show notes. So for those who are listening to the audio, go and check out this picture in the show notes, because I thought this was just really funny. And it was just for the laughs. And here it is.
Wow, that guy's epic.
So what we're showing is a picture of the PC guy, the Mac guy, and then this old man with his fingers up going, Amiga! Which, if you're not into tech, this probably means nothing to you. But if you are into computers at all, you will get a kick out of that. All right. And the other thing we have that we'll actually come back to after we have our little discussion here is I do have a trailer that we were going to show in Film Actually, but we ran out of time, so we never got to it, which is the new film with Dwayne Johnson, or The Rock. And the reason we were going to show this trailer was because Dwayne Johnson has been kind of lost in the wilderness for a while, doing things like the pacifier and, you know, all this other crap. And it's nice to see him returning back to what he does best.
Especially after we basically, like, he let us down, man. We pretty much said that he was, like, the next big action guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just, like, he disappeared on us.
Yeah,
and
so
we were very upset.
So it's nice to see him back in an action role. In fact, let's roll that trailer right now. What do you reckon?
Whatever.
Let's roll this trailer.
Sorry, I couldn't help
it. All right, where are we? God damn it, I can't even find this thing. Where is it? Oh, I have a picture of him, first of all. There he is. Looking all rock-like. This is the Film Actually board still. So, okay, so here it is. This is his new movie. It's called Faster. And it's a action revenge film, basically. And you're going to have to plug into a different headphone jack, because aren't you plugged into your notebook there?
Shut up. I would have noticed that when it ran. You didn't have to do that live.
All right, so here is Dwayne Johnson in Faster.
May I help you?
We
got our shooter.
It's not just fear, that's recognition.
You knew him.
Turns out some gang ambushed them and killed his brother.
Smile for the camera.
It took me 10 whole years to track down these people for you.
I'm gonna kill them all.
Smile for the camera.
Please don't hurt me.
I'm not gonna hurt you.
There's been another shooting.
I got a hunch it might be our guy.
They've all got records, armed robbery, rape, assault. Now it seems like he's going after everyone on his list.
I've been expecting you.
Witnesses placed a second shooter at the scene. So they had a little shootout in the hall.
Do you think you're done? There's one more.
It's pure
no hesitation.
He's faster than you.
He's faster. I've got you now, mate.
You better be sure, because that's a long, dark road you're headed down. Where are you?
How long the devil got your heart twisted? Vengeance and hate.
Can you find it in your heart to forgive? I can't.
I'm totally fucking in. I'm going to say for
Billy that. Bob Thornton as the bad guy, I'm in.
and you know what? The Rock back where he should be.
Damn straight. Absolutely. Right. I love that last line. Can't you find it in your heart to forgive me? I can't.
it looked like in the middle of that trailer there was a part where you see him in the dance club or the strip club, and it looks like he was actually having a fight with Terry Tate with a small knife.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that was. It was like, was that Terry Tate or Terry Crews? Terry Crews, I thought that looked like.
I know Terry Crews. I'm not sure if that was him. That trailer moves so fast, who can keep up?
Ah, but that's the whole thing, isn't it?
That is the whole thing. All right, so. What? I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's all right. I'm good. all right. I have an email. And I got
I have an email, too. In fact, I have about four of them, Dave. Quite impressive. I think Shane's got one, too. You've got an email.
I mean, we have an email.
Yeah. Right.
We have an email. Now, this email comes from our longtime listener, Geek Betty.
First-time caller.
And I got this email this morning, so I didn't have time to put it on the boards or anything. And I thought, well, you know what? It doesn't fit into the Film Actually show because we were already kind of scheduled that whole show. But you know what? This is it. After show fodder if I ever heard it. So she said, would love to hear the Geek Crew's take on this. Mm-hmm. I know I should put this in the Dropbox, but haven't gotten around to asking for the invite.
Well, we sent you an invite.
The invite has been sent, and we'll do so, though, but you don't have to because we've already sent you one. Okay, mm-hmm. So Betty has sent us a link. Now, I had a read through of this morning, and I went, yeah, baby, this is good. Okay, so the Sydney Morning Herald article that she sent a link to was called Super Stinkers, Movies Our Critics Have Walked Out On.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and it says, what films have you walked out on? And I think what she wants to talk about basically is not so much all these critics who say they've walked out on films, but I think what she's really getting at is, where's our stance on this? So let's have a look at some of these real quick, and then we'll get to what we think. So first of all, Doug Anderson says that there are thousands of films I'd walk out of were I to foolishly enter in the first place. Mm-hmm. He says, trailers are the anvil upon which decisions are forged, and overkill being the norm, it's usually no thanks. He does say that he walked out of a play at the Australian Museum about Charles Darwin, and two movies that spring to mind immediately, Jacques Demy's I'm not even going to bother with trying to say it, 1967 film, A Box of Stale Ferociously Sweet Chocolates, and he walked out on Sex and the City 2. and he says the walking out point for him was when Carrie Bradshaw and her pals decide to jet off to Dubai. Paul Burns, who I actually can't stand as a critic, says he gives a more technical thing, and he says in the film industry, walking out is known as ankling.
Ankling.
He says it follows that any professional in the film festival selection business, as I was for 10 years, chooses an aisle seat. It says, which is known as the ankle seat. Yeah. My rule was to give a film 25 minutes. If it wasn't doing it for me by then, I ankled. This happened hundreds of times, which could be awkward if the director was lurking forlornly near the entrance. It says, even now, when I no longer work for the Sydney Film Festival, I choose an ankle seat, although I have no option to ankle. Basically, he says, that's my rule. If I am reviewing for the Herald, which he does, I stay to the end of the credits. Mm. And he says, this rule is hard to stick to when a movie is so bad it makes my eyes water. I'd love to be able to bolt. Not allowed, even for the numbingly dumb stuff like Old Dogs or 300 or G.I. Joe or Will Ferrell at his worst in Land of the Lost.
Is this the guy you didn't like?
I hate him. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
I hate him. He's the one that basically said Iron Man was a bad film because they dwelled on Gwyneth Paltrow's shoes too much. I'm serious, all right? anyway, it goes on. Sandra Hall basically says, the most memorable walkout came when my sons were in primary school. I reviewed a space movie called Outland. Side note, I absolutely love Outland. All right. Which I knew little about, apart from the fact that it starred Sean Connery. For two kids hooked on Star Wars, a space adventure seemed like a great idea. okay. She goes, I wish I had checked the rating because it was more alien than Star Wars. The casualty rate rose so fast with the level of gruesomeness intensifying with every fatality, we barely made it through the opening credits.
Well, that to me is kind of a...
I think it's ridiculous, quite
well,
frankly.
No, and more importantly, it's like, yeah, you should have checked it.
yeah. If you're taking two kids to it, I would never take Nikki to a film without at least... knowing what I was going to expect.
Yeah.
Anyway, she also says that Lars von Trier's Antichrist was another severe test. I stayed, although I was one of the few who did. The stampede to the exit started during the film's notorious mutilation scene.
Wow.
Goes on, and there's a whole bunch of them here, and you know they all talk about their various... Andrew L. Urban says, there is one filmmaker whose name on a preview invitation is guaranteed to suck the breath out of my body. Here's a clue. He made one hell of a great debut film about a boy who sees dead people, then went on a filmmaking rampage to prove the first film was a fluke.
I love that. That's like something I would say.
Oh, absolutely. He says, as a critic, there is no greater challenge than sitting through M. Night Shyamalan's latest, The Airbender, or earlier ones, Signs, The Village, or Arg, Lady in the Water.
I like this man.
He runs Urban Cinephile.
I will be checking on your work.
anyway, so this is the article, and it basically goes on. It says here, Shyamalan knows how critics feel about his films. In Lady, Bob Balaban plays a film critic who gets mauled to death by a wolf thingy. Anyway, it goes on. So, that raises the point. What films would you walk out of?
Oh, man. It's been a while since I have walked out of a film. I actually take a standpoint, even though I disagree with his choices, very similar to the original guy there, which is that I have a few rules.
You're thinking Paul Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a few rules. Rule number one is, with very few sort of exceptions, I will never go intoxicated to pretty much any film I review. There have been a few, you know, steps along the way where I've, you know, done that, depending on time-based things or so on and so forth. But, yeah, basically taking a film straight is important. And the other thing is giving the film its full opportunity, which is its full, you know, 180 minutes or 160 minutes or whatever it is. Like, you have to give it the full credit. So I have walked out on, I think, about four films in my life. I have stopped paying attention in more films than that. Lady in the Water was the first time in a very long time where I actually checked my watch and asked my friend if we could leave. I didn't end up leaving because my friend wanted to finish it. So that was an almost walkout situation. Apart from that, I tend to stick to kind of a rule of kind of watching reviews. If I get to the wire with a film where I go in going, am I even going to be able to sit through this film? I will check reviews and I will check friends that I know. And if I find a notorious no to everything, I won't see it at the cinema. So without reviews, I never fail because I just wait to see how many people thrash it. I honestly have not walked out on a film in probably 4 years. I walked out of Date Movie and had to go to the bathroom, get a drink, go actually out of the cinema, got a drink from across the way, came back and sat through the rest of it. But yeah, I wouldn't have gone back in if there weren't four people that were friends of mine still inside. That is the worst film I think I've ever seen in my life. I have never walked into a comedy and been so angry by the end of it that I just almost, like, lashed out at anyone that was close to me. Like, I was just like, I am so angry that that film exists. I asked for my money back.
I can actually beat that because we saw... first of all, my rule of thumb is I never walk out of movies. Ever.
Ever?
Ever. Okay. Because I actually have a very strong feeling that I... it's a personal thing. I personally believe that you cannot say with 100% certainty that a film is crap or good unless you've seen the whole film.
Yeah.
As a period. Okay. It's a policy that I live by.
Yeah.
And I just look at it and go, you know what? It's just a movie. In the end, it's just a movie. And yes, there's bad movies and there's good movies. And I never walk out. I've turned off my fair share of DVDs, but I've never walked out of a movie.
But that's kind of the thing, though, isn't it? Because it's like those are films usually that I wouldn't have paid money for at the cinema. Kind of. So I'll usually get them out on video because it's like now I'm going to give you a chance. Mm. And I have that advantage to not have to watch it if I don't want
that's
to.
That's right. We have in our chat room, Northia said he walked out of Twilight. His girlfriend at the time stayed. It was awkward. Mm. Callicent said, I would have walked out of Bicentennial Man, but I was young at the time and settled for throwing Jaffas at my friends. And Northy says,
good call, though.
Date movie. Shudders. Yeah. I never saw a date movie. I actually saw the trailer and thought, that's just not going to work for me.
I am actually really annoyed because I can't remember the film, but I wanted to go to that particular film that was up there. Whatever it was quite decent, and I remember it being reviewed very highly, but I was with I'm not going to call him a friend because we haven't seen each other basically since then. Mm. But he was like, no, I want to watch a comedy. Let's watch a date movie. He was paying. It's the only reason I saw that film.
Fair enough. I can beat that date movie experience, though. And I got to say, this is actually a throwback to when we first started doing this show way, way, way back. Jake and I actually went to see a preview screening, a critic screening of the film Big Stan.
The famous Big Stan,
Rob Schneider film. I actually... I've never seen anybody who wanted to walk out of a movie so bad. Jake was literally, his butt was literally hovering above the seat. he was fidgeting and he was moving around and he was like, you could just see he just wanted to go. And I won't walk out of a movie. And I stayed and I watched the whole thing. And I've never seen anybody move so fast. when the credits started rolling, he was out of the cinema, like gone. I've never seen anybody move so fast. And, you know, as usual with me, I like to stay to the very end of the credits. And I did. I stayed all the way to the end of credits. And to this day, I'll always remember Jake's comment. He said he came back into the cinema to find out where I was.
Yeah.
And the only two people left in that cinema were the two Daves. David Stratton was in front of me. And there was me, and we both stayed until the very end of the credits, and then we finally left. Big Stan was infamous in the fact that it is the first time I've ever seen a comedy, and I use that term really loosely.
Yeah.
It's the first time I ever saw a comedy that was not funny. And when I say not funny, I mean not one laugh from anyone in the cinema the entire film.
That's quite an incredible feat.
And
I have to say.
Sat there watching it going, this is amazing. Not one snigger, not one, you know, one of those sort of things.
Yeah.
Not one. And we're talking about, it was a small screening room, but there was probably a good 20 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not one laugh. I thought that is just the ultimate cine comedy can do. I mean, no matter what comedy you watch, no matter how bad it is, there's usually at least one giggle in there somewhere. You know,
absolutely.
And to have a film that failed to create any humor, or generate any humor at all, is a staggering feat.
Mm.
I think Rob Schneider should be commended for doing the impossible. now, I'll give you an example of why I always stay to the end of a film. Eric Red, who hasn't directed a film in many years, directed two films pretty much back to back. One was called Body Parts, which I quite liked, with Jeff Fahey. And he directed another film, which was this little indie film, showed up at Dendy Cinemas back in the 80s, called Cohen and Tate. And Cohen and Tate starred Rob Schneider, gotta get him on the head now.
Whoa.
It starred Roy Scheider
and
Adam Baldwin as two assassins, or two hitmen, who basically, the entire film is in a car. And the film principle of the film is the opening scene is a kid has witnessed something from the mob doing, and his family and him have been put into protective custody. That happens pre-credits. You don't even see it. It's just words on a screen saying they've been put into protective custody.
Yeah.
The opening scene of the film shows the protective custody be wiped out and the family be wiped out and the kid gets kidnapped.
Right.
And the rest of the film is just them in a car.
Yeah.
And the two hitmen, the older, wizened, almost retiring hitman and the young, brazen, hotshot hitman, are driving the kid across the country to get back to the mob boss to find out what it is he actually saw.
Yeah.
Before killing him.
Yeah.
Right? That's the principle of the film. And it's a very slow-moving, deliberate film. Great performance by Roy Scheider. Really good performance by Adam Baldwin. Great performance by the kid. Really good film. I like the film a lot. But not a film that I would recommend to anybody. Because you sit there and go, it's not to everybody's taste. It's very kind of deliberate and very slow-paced and everything else. And I stayed with it and I watched the whole film and I thought, this is not a bad film. It's okay. It's pretty good and everything else. The last 10 minutes of that film are some of the best cinema I have ever seen.
Yeah.
It has this finale that is so out of the blue and so unexpected. And you sit there and just go, holy shit, what did I just see?
Yeah.
You know? And the entire film was made in the last 10 minutes.
Mm.
And if I walked out for some reason halfway through that film, I would never have had that experience.
It reminds me a lot of, there's a film with, this was the first film where I said Justin Timberlake was amazing, and I've talked about it before, Alpha Dog. The movie's okay, and like the entire time I'd watched it, you know how you get that look in people's face when they've seen something really good, where they just say to you, oh, it was an amazing film? Someone told me about this film with that look, and I was like, I have to watch this film. And you watch the first three quarters, and you're like, this is really
what did they see in
average.
It?
Yeah. There's nothing in it. And the last 10 minutes just shakes you, like lifts in straight through your chest, grabs your soul, and just shakes you. Because it's just really hard to watch
what the
resolution is. And that is one of those films where it's like, I was kind of half watching the film, you know, doing something on the computer and watching it. That last 20 minutes just drags you from whatever you're doing and holds you in there. So, yeah, it's very important.
What was the film?
Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog, right.
Yeah, it's one of those films where it's like, you know, and this is exactly what we're coming back to. It's like no film should be lost just due to the fact that it may have a slow start.
Mm.
So, yeah, I agree.
And I've seen many films. I got to say, this Paul Byrne is a fuckwit, okay? Mm. Sorry, I'm just probably slanderous for me saying that. But to say if it doesn't grab me in the first 25 minutes, I walk out,
yeah,
is the most stupid thing. I've seen many films that have had slow burn opening half hours. You know, yeah, and you would write off a whole bunch of, you would write off Let the Right One In.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you just gave it 25 minutes, you know. Anyway, Shane, have you ever walked out?
Yes, I do have a funny experience. It would have happened to be The Grudge. I walked out of that laughing because I couldn't stop laughing. That's the only reason I walked out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody took that so seriously. It's so scary. It's not.
It didn't help. I actually went and saw this with Shane, and it didn't help that we actually watched this particular film with a bunch of screaming Japanese schoolgirls in the front row in front of us. So it was like any chance that this film possibly had of scaring us was lost in the fact that they were talking really fast and really loud until the scares came, and then there was just this painful silence where you're like, and here it comes, and then something would appear, and they would scream louder than my ears could handle. And yeah, so both of us not.
Did anybody see Pulse?
Yes.
That was another Japanese remake, wasn't it?
Maybe. I don't know. It was mind-numbing either way.
Yeah, I never saw it. And it's pretty because I'm a big fan of Kristen Bell. And when I heard she was doing a film, I thought, oh, cool, Kristen Bell's going to be in this film. And then the reviews started to come. It's like, yeah, I'm going to avoid that.
Yeah.
Now, I got to disagree, though. Northy has said a movie that he really, really, really wanted to walk out of was Adam Sandler's Click.
Oh.
I actually quite liked Click. I
wouldn't go as far as like.
No, but I actually didn't mind it. I saw it with Katie and Nicholas, and I'm not. Let me put this another way. I'm not actually a huge Adam Sandler fan. I like him in certain roles, and I like some of his films, but some of the films that people really love him in, I don't. I don't like it when he does the whole stupid character work that he does, like in Little Nicky and you know, Billy Madison and all this sort of stuff. And I thought Click was actually just another variation of It's a Wonderful Life. It's just another reworking of It's a Wonderful Life. And I thought it was actually handled with quite a bit of sensitivity. I thought he...
Look, it was handled with a bit of sensitivity. My problem is, though, that I immediately go, It's a Wonderful Life did it better. And it comes back to that whole thing
but
we
it's
were talking
variations
about
of a theme. Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, It's a Wonderful Life has been remade about 15,000 times. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who knows me knows that It's a Wonderful Life is one of my favorite films of all time. And I don't think it is as good as It's a Wonderful Life. But I thought for an Adam Sandler film, I thought it was actually a fun film. It was entertaining, and it showed a sensitivity that you don't often get with Adam Sandler. It showed a softer, it's like the soft, chewy center, you know? So sorry, Northy, I disagree with you on that one. But, you know, everybody's to each own, and that's what we keep saying on this show. Everything is subjective.
Absolutely.
What tickles one person won't tickle another. I am sure there is at least one person in the world who thinks Big Stan is funny. I don't know where that person is, but there's
I would love to hear from them.
Yeah, look, write to us, feedback@geekactually.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you saw Big Stan and thought it was funny and wasn't completely offended by it in every way about the anal rape, you know, fine, you know. Just before you say anything, Shane, because I know you're biting at the bit there, I just got to say, who told Rob Schneider that anal rape was actually a good topic for a comedy? You know? And that's the basis of the film. Anyway, so Shane, sorry to derail.
I was going
to
say that probably that one person that probably liked it has probably got one friend on their Facebook.
Yeah, I can't imagine them being socially acceptable.
I love the fact that Northy said there's probably at least one person who enjoyed Date Movie. However, they should be shot.
I think the people that made that film should be shot.
That brings us on to a whole different topic, though, which is why won't they stop making... Well, actually, no, we know exactly why they won't stop making... I was about to say, why won't they stop making these spoof movies?
Yeah, no, we know why.
It's way past its prime. It is no longer funny. These films are terrible. Everybody says they're terrible. But why do they keep making them? Because they don't cost much to make, and the imbeciles keep going to see them.
Oh, dude, and more importantly than that, every one of them makes money.
That's what I'm saying, because the people go see them.
A lot of money.
All they need is opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If they go through and they can make opening weekend, they make $50 million in that opening weekend and take the number one spot, it doesn't even matter if they drop 75% in the following weekend. They've already made their money back.
Yeah.
And if they've made their money back, they're guaranteed another one of these films. Mm-hmm. They're cheap. They're fast to make, you know, and they just keep pumping them out. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The Zucker Abrams crowd has a lot to answer for, because they created this genre with Flying High / Airplane, depending on what country you come from, and Top Secret, and they did it well. And studios have been trying to do that ever since.
Yeah.
And they are progressively getting less and less funny as time goes by, but they keep making them, and it's terrifying.
I don't think you're ever going to be able to fully stop that, man. I think that it's always going to be around. That's the problem. It's always going to be something. People like the concept. Like, I mean, you can imagine a man whose life is obsessed around money, a person whose sole reason for living is large buckets of cash.
You mean film producers?
I was going further than that. I was going, you know, the people above them.
Oh, the execs. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Execs. For the concept of putting less money than you would put into a film and getting more return, they will try as many times as they can. Mm. These films will be with us forever.
Callisant says it was no longer funny after Scary Movie 2. I'm actually going to go, I'm a little bit older than probably most people in our chat room even, and I'm going to say it hasn't been funny, and they haven't been really working since Hot Shots? You know? Mm. And then after Hot Shots, you had that whole run of where they said, you know what? What's his name? Leslie Nielsen was funny in Airplane, so therefore he must be what was funny, so let's put him in a whole bunch of films and just try and do it again. So they took this secondary character in Flying High, who was very funny, and put him into... What do we have? We had Spy Hard, and... there were so many of them. We had this rash of them in the late 80s, early 90s, and luckily they all died. They all died, and eventually they stopped making them. It was Scary Movie. I blame Scary Movie, because Scary Movie brought it back.
Yeah.
And Scary Movie, Scary Movie brought it back. And now, I was about to say, we seem to have had a lull in them, though, so maybe it's finally dying. No, there's one playing right now, isn't there? Vampire Sucks is playing right now.
But apparently that one hasn't made money.
Thank God.
Yeah, apparently no one's stupid enough with that one, because it's like, I think realistically everyone's smart enough to just go, now hold on now. Why would this be good?
Yeah.
And I actually believe that movie, to me at the moment, is kind of making me go, well, there's faith.
There's hope.
There's hope.
But also you have to look at it and say, why make a comic parody spoof movie about Twilight when the original Twilights are already so funny?
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of been the kind of outcry by most people.
They're already so stupid, they're hysterical. Yeah. So, you know, there's no point in making a send-up of it. They're send-ups of themselves.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. Well, that was the email. Thank you very much, Geek Betty. Yeah, so the long and the short of it is Josh used to walk out of movies, but he hasn't done it for some time. Mm-hmm. Shane has occasionally walked out on the movie. And I stand by my belief in 43 years, I won't walk out of a movie. So far in 43 years, I haven't walked out of one. I don't plan to walk out of one. I'm actually one of those diehard, blowhard people who actually stays right to the end of the credits. And Josh and I have had this debate before.
Yes.
So we won't go into that. But I actually believe that you stay to the end.
Look, I again, I've said it before, dude. I don't blame you or think that what you do is wrong. It's just not what I do.
No, absolutely. And not everybody's going to. In fact, a friend of mine who spent a great deal of time in Thailand actually said it was very funny because the Thais seem to have like this almost second sense. Sixth sense, I should say, of when the end credits are going to come. Because he said when you go see a movie in Bangkok, just before the credits start to roll, everybody's already out of their seat and starting to walk out. So it's like they know the end of a film. They can predict it, you know? And he said it's quite funny.
Well, I can't say that it's a complete failure, dude. I just looked up on box office and it has made $36 million.
How much does it cost to make?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Does it say?
It should say at the bottom. You know the little grid at the top?
I'm not at Box Office Mojo.
Why don't I check Box Office Mojo and see what that's good? I got that.
How about we just make the chat room just sit here and wait?
Well, we keep talking. I'm not going to say just don't do nothing. I'm going to check Box Office Mojo while we're chatting here.
Yeah. Well, let's chat then.
All right, Box Office Mojo is coming up now. All right, so we started a section last week, and we haven't done it this week. So let's have a chat around at this real quick, and then we're going to get out of here, which is what have we been doing this week, guys? What have we been watching, playing, listening to?
Actually, I forgot to drop something in the film show. So for anybody that's in the chat room or anyone that has taken us up on the Dropbox requests, if you don't know what that is, we have a Dropbox now, which is an internet box that is filled with goodies, things from fans of the show, things from people that are, you know, into the show. We put up new things every week. There are two things for people to check out in the film section this week. There is a movie trailer for Tempest. It is very French, or at least very European.
And somebody had a really good time playing with After Effects.
Exactly. And look, good on them. I will be interested to see whether or not it's any good at all. It has a very strong cast. And there's also a small trailer for 127, which we showed last week.
127 hours.
127 hours.
Yeah. Fantastic film.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got the details here now that little piece of plugging is out of the way. Vampires Suck. Cost $20 million to make. Mm-hmm. It took $36.5 million in the United States and $29 million overseas. So a total of $66 million. It's a hit. It's made three times its budget. There'll be another one.
Yeah.
And the average user rating is F. I love Box Office Mojo. So what have we been watching this week? I gotta say, it's actually been a little bit of a quiet week for me this week. Last week I had a huge movie week, and this week I've been catching up with the usual fall season of shows. Keep going. A new show. I think I talked about it last week as an entry, but I've actually seen an episode now, which is Raising Hope. Did I talk about this one last week?
No, you didn't.
Raising Hope is the new film by Greg Garcia. Greg Garcia is the creator and writer of My Name is Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now that show is finished, he's come out with this show called Raising Hope, which is basically another redneck family. He likes writing about rednecks and the lower class. Basically about a guy who wants to do something good with his life, but he's lost in, you know, basically lower class hell. His mother is a cleaner, and he works with his father who cleans, who does like landscaping and cleaning pools, and he's a pool cleaner. And one night in the pilot, he inadvertently gets hooked up with this girl, has this quick night of sex with the girl. It turns out the girl's actually a psychopath and goes to the electric chair. But before she goes to the electric chair, which is 9 months later, it turns out he actually made her pregnant, and so he gets the baby. And he suddenly realizes that maybe this is his something special. And so he sets about trying to raise the baby in this redneck household. And the show is actually, in at least two scenes, laugh out loud funny. The support cast is excellent.
He's very good at support cast.
He is. And it's the one thing that was really interesting about this particular show was that the lead is actually not very good. He's kind of bland. He's not bad. He's just bland.
Yeah.
But surrounding him, the family around him, is fantastic. And in fact, it marks the return of Martha Plimpton. Do you remember Martha Plimpton? She was in The Goonies and a whole bunch. She's kind of an awkward, unattractive girl in her teen years. And she's now all grown up and, you know, she looks just pretty much the same as she did, but she's playing the mother, kind of rough around the edges mother. And the father is played by, if you've ever seen Sarah Connor Chronicles, he was the bad Terminator. The one that was going around killing that's the father. And they're really funny. The family is really funny. And they employ some of the same techniques he used in My Name is Earl with flashbacks and stuff like that. Charming show. Really fun.
Oh, well, there you go.
On the flip side, the other new show that I watched this week was a show called No Ordinary Family, Michael Chiklis' new series, which co-stars Julie Benz, who was in Dexter and in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, basically about a family who, through some quick, smart writing where they don't have to explain too much, has an accident and the entire family develops superpowers. And the show is slickly produced. You know, it's big ABC fare. They're looking for the next big fantasy thing. But unfortunately, it just doesn't know what it wants to be. And so the whole series, the whole pilot episode, I sat there watching and going, what am I supposed to be feeling? Who do I care about? You know, good cast, good special effects, good idea, but just execution didn't quite work for me. I've got a couple
more. It is only a pilot.
It is a pilot, and I actually have always said that you always got to give a show about two or three episodes to see if it actually does do anything. I actually have the next two episodes of No Ordinary Family ready to watch, and I'm probably going to watch them tonight. So I'll have a look at that. Okay, what have you guys been watching?
Me, I've been kind of like I've been kind of gaming mostly over the last thing I've done.
No big surprise with you.
No, I've been doing Spider-Man, a lot of that.
Oh, this is the new Shattered Dimensions one, is that right? Yeah.
And we reviewed that on Raw DLC this week.
That's at rawdlc.com.
We all universally pretty much hammered it. It might be a good game for kids. It's just very averagely put together. But that's kind of pretty much the only thing I've had time for, just that writing and, of course, our preview of Social Network.
Oh, God.
Which was...
I got to tell you, I am so burning to review this film and to talk about this film.
Oh, no, and I watched Flash Gordon.
Oh, yes!
Which is absolutely amazing for anyone who hasn't seen it. It is so bad. It is just incredible. Anyway.
This is the 1980 Sam Jones Flash Gordon. Josh has finally been introduced to that and to the 1976 King Kong. We're slowly giving Josh some food for thought.
One way of putting it, Dave. It's one way of putting it.
Just before you go, Shane, Callisynth in our chat room says, I didn't like No Ordinary Family, don't know why. That's exactly the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly the problem. You just don't know why. It says, I think I was hoping for a real-life Incredibles, which is what it should be. Callisynth also says that the fact that Vampire Suckers made money, his reference to that is, he says, so there goes my faith in humanity. Thank you for that. Shane?
Unfortunately, this week I've been too flat out with work. I haven't had much time.
It's working at Apple, which you can't talk about.
All I can say is it's been amazing, and the amazing has literally tired me out. to the point that this weekend's the only free time I've really had to do anything.
And I've got you stuck in a studio.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
I hope you're happy.
It's
ecstatic, actually.
We all love this, Dave, and you know it.
It's fun to be here, though.
It really is.
Here is not like work.
No. Here is where we have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Let our hair down, if I had any.
But apart from that, I can say that I do have too many games to play. We're talking Enslaved, we're talking NBA.
He's not kidding.
2K11.
Yeah. It's
we're talking Spider-Man.
Now is the season of our downfall, quite literally. Like we are,
how Shakespearean of you.
Yeah, got that reference. Well, it is going to be a hectic time from here until the end of the year. It's like on average we usually get 2 to 3 releases a week. We've actually had to create a new section in our show just to have another review spot in case we need them.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah. The title will be called, "I'm Sorry We Have Too Many Games." come back to you very soon.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually talking to Celine and my wife at two different times, of course, but I was actually saying that we're reaching the same sort of thing with the film show this year. At this time of year, because this is Oscar bait time of year, we're going to start seeing a whole bunch of really good stuff coming out. Or, like, the Oscar caliber worthy stuff coming out. It's going to get really hard picking and choosing which films to actually review on the show now, because I think we're going to have several weeks now where, like when the summer blockbuster season hit, where you sit there and go, which one do you choose?
Yeah.
And, you know, so we may have to actually start putting in a bonus film review into the after show or something like that. Or what we might do, if it starts to get a little bit overwhelming, one of the thoughts I had was we might make the after show every 2 weeks just for the season. And during the weeks where you don't do an after show, we make the film show an extra half an hour longer, you know, or something like that. Just to, I don't know, I'm still trying to
do a show in the after show.
The only problem with doing that, of course, is that not everybody who listens to film actually is feeding over to the after show, so they may miss it. You know what I mean?
That would suck.
So, I don't know. It's a difficult spot we're in, because I think as we approach Christmas now, this is when all the worthy films come out, and it's going to become kind of a jump on which ones to actually grab and which ones to
spend the longer time on. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Look, well, we'll see. You know,
I mean, what's actually coming up? Red is due out.
Red is coming out. The Tourist. We saw a promo for The Tourist, which looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
The Tourist looks like it could be a lot of fun. There is the new Harry Potter film is coming out in December. We got Tron Legacy coming out. These aren't the Oscar baits. Although, funnily enough, I actually listened to somebody the other day who actually said they've seen some footage from Tron Legacy and it sucked. They actually said that the lead actor is terrible.
If we lower our expectations, that's true. When we go in, if it's good, we'll be that much happier.
That's true. We should do that. There was another big worthy film coming out, though. What was it? It was my mind's gone blank. There was something. We got The Town. Yeah.
Oh, dude, let me tell you one thing about The Town. When I was in the cinema yesterday night, over at the Ritz, the line was out to the cashier's desk for that thing. So there is hype that people don't even know about. And everyone I've spoken to says that film is breathtaking.
By the way, that's next week's film.
Yes.
So we will be doing The Town next week. We'll be doing The Social Network for those who are wondering, because we keep talking about it. When are we doing it? It doesn't open until the 28th of October. So we're just holding off the review until we get closer to the 28th of October. We're not under embargo. It's just that if we review it now, it'll have been forgotten about by the time you get to when you can actually see the film. And
I don't know if I'm going to ever forget that.
It's nice when we do the review that the chat room can actually have their say on it as well.
Mm.
So it's nice to be able to do it in that weekend so people have actually had an opportunity to see it. And then they can have talk back with us on it. So, and in particular with that film, I want people to talk about it because it is a really, really good film. Okay. I think that's it. I think we're finished. I don't have any other topic matter or anything like that. What I would suggest is this. Keep up with following us at geekactually.com. We put up information there. We have a forum. So if you ever want to know what we're going to review, it's generally the film that we're seeing in the Unofficial Movie Fan Club. So if you go and look at that post to see what we're seeing that Thursday, that will be telling you what is coming up that week as the review. That's pretty
fair call.
That's a pretty fair call as to saying what we're going to be reviewing. So you can go to the forums. There's a link right on geekactually.com. You can also follow us on Facebook as a fan page, which is facebook.com/geekactually. Or you can follow me personally on Twitter, which is twitter.com/Twitter. I often tweet out what things that I've seen or random thoughts. I've been doing a lot of tweets lately on the fall season of TV, my first thoughts and stuff like that. So if you want to follow me on Twitter,
you're more.
Sorry?
Twitter moves so fast.
It does. It moves very quickly. You got to keep up with it. I've been tweeting a lot the last 2 weeks. Josh, mm-hmm. people can catch up with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to do that. We have, of course, Road DLC, which we were talking about before, roaddlc.com. If you guys head over there, we have a lot of new posts up over this week. Dave has been working like a mad hatter.
Love that Joker.
And spending a lot of time putting posts up on the site, so you guys should go check that out. And then on top of that, we also have the live show, which is Tuesdays at 8 Australian time. Figure it out yourself.
And that would be at rawdlc.com. Shane, where can people find out more about you?
At the Dropbox.
Josh is getting punchy. We got to get out of here.
That's what happens if you have too much caffeine.
Yeah,
I take it the big can of Red Bull's finally kicked in, has it?
I think it's wearing out. That's why I'm kind of mildly delusional.
Oh, sorry. Shane,
it's
keep
called
going.
A caffeine cocktail. You a little bit of Red Bull, a little bit of cola,
and mixing some coffee in there as well. Yeah.
Anyway, you can find me at Facebook. Just type in Shane Robert Gregory or Nexus81 to find me a bit faster. And I'm also the tech guy on Raw DLC.
That would be at rawdlc.com. Look, I'm going to throw out a couple plugs to some other people as well, because otherwise it's all just the Raw DLC show. We're going to say our friends over at the Movie Fan Cast and Right This Instant, which you can find at moviefanhouse.com, and our friends over at Real Junkies at weekendronin.com, or you can search for them on iTunes, R-E-E-L for Real Junkies. And of course, they have Twitter pages and Facebook pages and all sorts of stuff too, so you can follow them everywhere as well.
Yes, but they can tell you how to follow them.
But that's right. Go to their website and they can tell you how to do all that. I'm just telling you, go to weekendronin.com or moviefancast.com. Moviefanhouse.com. Thank you. And that would do it. And we also want to throw out a plug because of our wonderful
artwork.
We're
professionals.
Try to be. Very trying. We also want to throw out a big plug to our friend Josh Spencer, who did our lovely new artwork, which you can find featured on lots of t-shirts, mugs, and so forth over cafepress.com.au/geek. Actually, and you can find his artwork at attackninja.blogspot.com, which is still one of the best domain names ever. I love it. I love it. I love it. Don't ever change that domain. I will never forgive you if you change that domain. And that's it. I think we're done. Have we got anything else to plug? Surely there's got to be something else I can plug. I like plugging things. Let's plug something else. What else can we plug?
You can plug the fact that people can stay tuned if you're into music. I am currently in the... I have the address, but I'm not willing to say it until I have something up there. But I am about to start a music blog, which will be the same sort of stuff that we do here, but we will be talking about music.
As soon as he's got that address and he's willing to make it public, we will put it up at geekactually.com in a post.
Yeah.
And we will tweet it, and we will Facebook it.
And a bunch of other people just talking out music.
Cool.
Yeah.
And are you going to get a plug on DLC as well?
It will be probably plugged on DLC.
Cool. All right. We'll plug it everywhere. We'll get you in there. All right.
We like plugging stuff.
Me and plugging today. I tell you, I got to get out of here before I put my foot in my mouth. Woo! One more time. All right, guys.
Innuendo.
Thank you very much. We will see.
I'm done.
We're done. Bye, everybody. We'll see you all next week. Thank you.